Hi, I'm Marina Pahom, and these are the Rebel Basement Sessions.
Simply put, Mariana Pajon is one of the best BMX riders of a generation. A national hero in her home country of Colombia, Mariana's success on the track has made her a household name and one of the stars of the sport.
The whole country, they were watching my race, they were expecting my medal. Universities, they stopped the classes, airports stopped the flights, shopping malls, they all stopped just to watch my race.
With two gold medals and one silver in three Olympic Games, she is the most decorated Olympian in her country's history. Which goes without saying, is no easy thing to do.
I have so many world titles, but I have more broken bones than world titles.
And it's easy to understand why she's known as the queen of BMX.
Because every day people, they are coming to me and telling me, you are my motivation. I know if you did it, I can also make it, make my dreams come true.
I'm Tom Carroll, and Red Bull Basement is here to support students to challenge the status quo and make a positive impact with their tech ideas now and for the future.
Hi, I'm Mariana Pajon, BMX racer, double Olympic champion.
So first off, let's start with something that we like to do on the Red Bull Basement Sessions podcast and do a round of quick fire questions. What is your favorite color and why?
I love purple. I don't know if I grew up with this color in my first bike, my first helmet, where a really nice story about it is that I didn't know about my favorite color till I won my first gold medal in London, as the medal was purple. And I say, like, this, what I was waiting for, this is my favorite color, so that's why.
Could you describe a moment where you've had to break the rules to succeed?
Well, so many times. So when I grew up in a sport that was known for being like a boy sport, not girls. And I didn't have a class to race with. So I was racing with boys. There was a rule that I couldn't race with them. And I broke it so many times, and I went through so many people and against them and against their parents. And I broke the rules for maybe 15 years. And now I have a class to race with in Colombia. But before, I just loved, and I had to break that rule.
Rule breaker from day one. That's got to be the best way to be. Global innovators and the entrepreneurial spirit is what Red Bull Basement is about at its core. So how does your work force you to innovate?
So we have to innovate in doing new things with technology in sports, like biomechanics, and with the help of really nice cameras so we can see our technique. If you want to be the best, you have to innovate the way you train, the way you eat, the way you rest every day. You have to do something different than the others to be the best.
That was the quickfire round, and I feel like I know you a lot better already. But now we're going to get into the main part of the show, where our main theme is being resilient, overcoming obstacles, and mindfulness. So are you ready for some hard-hitting questions?
Ready.
All right, great. So you began your sporting journey in gymnastics. So I'd really love if you could talk a little bit about your gymnastics past and how it actually went from gymnastics and became BMX.
I really love the bikes since I think I was born, because I was born into a family of sports, and my brother was already riding the bike and racing BMX, and my dad too. He was racing MTB and road cycling, and had started doing BMX with my brother, but there were no gears, so my parents were so scared of me to be there and maybe crashing or broken bones or scars all over their daughters. So they took me to the gymnastics stadium, and I started. I really like it, but at the same time I was riding my bike and trying to be like my brother. I competed maybe twice, and I told my parents, I really like it, but this is not my passion. My passion is bikes. So it really helped me with my BMX and my skills and my technique, and even knowing how to crash and how to fall. But at the same time, it wasn't my passion. So I quit and started BMX full time.
So you've obviously mentioned that your brother was into BMXing and that your dad was into biking. So how developed was the BMX scene in Colombia where you grew up?
When I grew up, there were already nationals and they were having like international competitions and some teams going for the World Cups and racing in the US as it's huge there. But it wasn't big enough. Before me going to London 2012, I was telling the people that I was going to the Olympics and they were asking me, in which sport are you competing? And I was saying BMX racing and they didn't know. In Colombia, they didn't know this sport. It didn't have any support of anyone. So it was kind of new when it started. Small track and no support. And it grew up a lot after the Olympics. And now there are thousands of kids wanting to do BMX and it's really well supported and some big companies are coming into the sport.
Right. So I'd love to ask how you think your success has actually helped raise awareness and participation of BMX in Colombia.
So we have a really big names in BMX in Colombia. So they all have helped a lot. I had this idol growing up that is called Mario Soto. He was like the best in the world and I grew up watching him and try to be like him. And he opened the doors for more kids to come and do the sport. But then when I won the Olympics, the whole country, they were watching my race. They were expecting my medal. Universities, they stopped the classes. Airports stopped the flights and malls, shopping malls, they all stopped just to watch my race. So all Colombia, they were watching and they were watching my sport. When kids saw this, they wanted to do also BMX. They wanted to be there. They wanted to be Olympians. This helped the sport to grow 300% more.
Amazing. So you mentioned your idols. I'm wondering, have you ever met any of these kids that are basically idolizing you and following your journey into BMX?
Actually, every day somebody comes to me and say this and it makes me fall down to earth and have my 2 feet on the floor and in the ground and realize that I can be a champion, I can be good in my sport, but at the same time, it's a huge responsibility because every day people, they are coming to me and telling me, you are my motivation. I know if you did it, I'm working so I can also make it, make my dreams come true. Sometimes in social media, every day, every single second, I receive so many good messages, beautiful messages that gives you this responsibility, not just being a champion, but inspiring other people and kids especially.
Yeah, that must feel incredible, but also like a huge weight on your shoulders. And back in the 2012 Olympics, you were actually a flag bearer for Colombia. I would love to know what it feels like to you to be an ambassador for your country.
This was amazing. This was a gold before the gold. It was so nice to have your flag going into the stadium, the Olympic stadium. Like, that was a dream already. And it was so amazing. It was a huge responsibility because I knew the Colombians, they were expecting me not just to bring the flag into the Olympic stadium, but just winning also.
You mentioned that was a gold before the gold, right? But let's talk about your medals for a minute, because you've been winning medals from a really young age. You won your first national title at the age of 5 and your first junior world title at the age of 9. So was it difficult to deal with being in the spotlight at such a young age? And if it was, what actually helped you keep your feet on the ground?
Well, at the beginning, I was just playing. I was racing, I was competing, and I wanted to win. But at the same time, I was a baby. I was 4, I was 5, racing with boys. I didn't understand that I was alone there, racing with them. Then I started to grow up. I went to my first world championships. Then I won my first gold medal. And I knew when I was like racing in Colombia or in Latin America or even in the US that I had a huge opportunity to be there and racing for a team. Like, everyone was watching me, that girl, the Colombian, the tiny Colombian rider that was racing really fast. And I was just so quiet. I was so shy that I didn't like this at all.
How do you deal with that sort of pressure?
Having my family around, to have someone that tells you to just focus or wake up or just bring your feet on the floor again. And if you want to keep being the best, then you have to work hard. And I'm no longer the Olympic champion. I'm just Mariana inside my house, and I don't bring that with me. So I'm with my family that wakes me up every time. And I have also a mental coach that is really important for me, that has helped me and have given me some really nice tools so I can be aware of this.
So is this a mental coach that's helping you with mindfulness exercises and coping through that sort of strategy?
Yeah, so having tools for life, not just for my sport, but for life. And one of those tools is to manage that pressure that I have on my shoulders and bring it to my side. So it can be positive, it can be negative. It's up to you what you want. I know that the whole country believes in me and think that I can do something really nice with my sport, not just one medal, but I can bring something really nice for my country and positive things and inspire people. So I just keep it that way.
Right. And has this always been a big part of your life, or is it just something that you've learned along the way?
I think you learn along the way, but you have to have someone. Even if you know how to win or you know how to manage a win or a failure, not just the pressure of being on the gate in the Olympics and everybody's watching you, but after that, how you manage when you fail, how you manage when you win.
Seeing you on the bike, just you make it look so easy. So I've got to ask, has it been easy, or have you had some really hard moments as well?
Oh, no. So when you have a big dream, it's not going to be easy to go there and all the way up. You're going to have some moments. It's going to be a roller coaster of emotions. You're going to cry of happiness, and you're going to cry because you're frustrated. I have so many world titles, but I have more broken bones than world titles. So I've been there. I've been down there. But the last one that I had that it was really hard was a knee injury that I had before Tokyo Olympics. I broke everything and I torn everything in my knee. And I was 9 months without training or walking straight, not even pedaling back in my bike. So it was 1 year that I had to really, really hard rehab, that it was hurting because it did hurt a lot watching the world championships, and I didn't have the chance to be there. So that was a huge lesson in my career. Since I was 5, I was training every day, twice a day, and with that injury I had to stop.
And I know you've mentioned before that in moments like this, you've really got to believe that things are going to get better, or you're going to have the opportunity to basically chase your dreams again. And after winning gold in Rio in 2016, you actually quoted Eleanor Roosevelt to describe your philosophy on life. And the quote was, "The future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams." So first off, that's a really nice quote. But how do you keep reminding yourself to believe in the beauty of your dreams?
I think since I was 5, I wanted to be the best. I wanted to be the world champion. And I believe I can be. Even if I already have a title, I know I can be better, and I know I can win it again. So for everyone to have a big dream, believe in that dream, work hard for that dream, enjoy the process, that is really important, then you can achieve it.
There might be listeners who have a dream or an idea, but they might have those moments of self-doubt. So what would be your advice to a young person in that position? Have you ever doubted yourself in competition?
Yes, of course. Even before a main event, if I crash, if I don't win, if everybody's watching me, and if I don't get it, what the Colombians are going to think, what my family is going to think, what my coach. You have this imagination that is way too good. I even imagine a crash like in 3D. I can imagine everything. What if, those what if, those are the worst. But you can quiet them. You can shut them up. You can tell them, no, I'm ready. I'm ready and I'm enjoying this and I have prepared and I can do it. I already did it. Why I cannot do it and repeat that? Like 80% of what we think in the day is something negative. Something negative when we go out in the streets and a motorcycle is passing and you're yelling at him, or a taxi, or the office, it's cold, it's hot. We are thinking about this every time. So if we're conscious and we shut that things up, those doubts will go away.
So that was Mariana telling us all about the tools she uses to overcome obstacles and stay resilient. Next time, we're chatting to games designer Dean Rocket Hull.
There was nothing more certain to me than at that moment of how good it was to be alive.
We meet Dean and have a chat about how failure is an important part of success and how using it can help you move forward in your career and in your life. Red Bull Basement is not just a podcast. It's an initiative to support impactful, feasible, and creative tech ideas from student innovators from around the world and support these changemakers in realizing their vision. Follow Red Bull Basement sessions on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And visit redbullbasement.com to find more stories from innovators who are driving positive change around the world.